Upon witnessing what it looked like during God's declaration of the Ten Commandments, the people are seeing this all happen on the mountain. Thunder and lightning and the sound of a trumpet and the mountain is smoking. The people had this great reaction to Moses. They were petrified and shaking and stood off at a distance, you know. And they said, okay, you speak to us and we'll listen. But don't let God speak to us because we'll die. And Moses' reaction is even more wonderful. He sort of said, don't be afraid. This is literally what's happening here is God is putting the fear of God into you. And that is exactly what it says. What it doesn't exactly say is still kind of what I think Moses seems to be saying, which is kind of, you know, I mean, don't worry about it. But if I were you, I would make sure to try real hard not to commit any of those, the sins. And there's like 10 there that, you know, pretty straightforward. Historical epics later, a young man named Saul had been getting everything right. He was a highly accomplished zealot. Zealots are irritating. And Saul at the time, Saul was the best. He was so much more than irritating. Saul, as a matter of fact, is what today we would call a terrorist. But later, having become Paul at some unidentified point in his ongoing transformation at the hands of Jesus, he looked back on that zealous kid that he used to be. And on top of the raw shame of the atrocities he had helped to carry out against Christians, he recognized finally that all of that zealotry, the merit badges he had earned, the perfect nationalist fervor that he'd carried within him, the Bible verses he had memorized, the violence and the terror that he had inflicted, the ancient rules that he had long since mastered and lorded over everybody else, the perfection of his identity as a card-carrying, DNA-proven member of the family of the covenant people. When he finally met the God that he thought he had known, and to whom he thought his actions would have been so pleasing, he realized that not only had he misunderstood what it meant to be faithful, he had misunderstood what it meant to be human. He hadn't even really understood what it meant to be himself, which may be why eventually Saul became Paul. Have you ever realized that something wonderful is out there, accessible to you if you can look for it carefully and persistently enough to find it, but something that connects you with a deeper truth that feels simultaneously exciting and new, and at the same time, at some deep level inside you, feels like you're only recognizing something that you've always known about. The law gave people an articulation of how a people becomes the covenant people, the people of God. And it's pretty baseline stuff. As for each other, don't kill, don't steal, don't go after things or people for yourself that are already part of somebody else's covenant. It's not all about you and what you want as an individual. There are limits. As for God, don't be confusing other gods with God. God is God. So respond accordingly. Baseline expectations. Don't do this short list of negative things toward God or to each other. And then Paul found out that for God, that was never supposed to be the final word. Imagine a life that really is life. Imagine what happens when beyond not forgetting that God exists and not taking from your neighbor, you found your true calling. In other words, you finally heard what God has been saying since the beginning. When you met Jesus and heard him teach his followers, as the Son of God, the human embodiment of God on earth, give food to hungry people. Give water to thirsty people. Take care of sick people. Welcome strangers. Visit people who are imprisoned. Love one another just as I have loved you. Follow me, and I will have you fishers fishing for people. Something wonderful is out there. In the mid-1950s, when my dad was a teenager living on the farm in north central Indiana, if he was driving home from a date night or something, he'd always be sure to keep driving long enough so that he would still be in the car at 11 o'clock when a station broadcasting from Ernie's Record Mart in Gallatin, Tennessee, would invariably start off their late night blues broadcast with the Clovers singing One Mint Julep. Dad waited for that blues broadcast, waited attentively for those radio waves to come streaming silently across the dark cornfields, waving under the moonlight, in the midst of gravel roads and old trees and darkened town squares and quiet farmhouses, and in the deep blue of midnight in the countryside, for a transcendent hour, the beat that thumps in your chest and the voices that lift your spirits even when they sing from despair would carry the incontrovertible evidence that there is a wide and good world somewhere out there over the horizon, and that there are some things deeper than words that all people have in common. We get this transmission impossibly coming out in broadcast waves that somehow still reach us powerfully enough to beat in our chest. And the broadcast goes all over the world. And when I feel like surely the word is now going to be overwhelmed and lost in the sea of words and information, overtaken by zealots or submerged in the fear behind the bellowing voices of our age. At midnight, out in the country, you can still hear it. The way to live, the pathway to life, as our infinite God comes down to earth and beats the rhythm of the word in our chests, in mountain towns in North Carolina, in Kenya, in Hungary, in Taiwan, in Hollywood, in the Philippines, in places in the Middle East so dangerous that we can't even print or say the names of PCUSA personnel who serve there bringing the word and the human physical care of the Prince of Peace. And God keeps broadcasting that beat all over the world, deep into the night, in every city and town and farmhouse. And by the grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, invites us to live, invites us to worship, shows us how to obey, lets us know that whoever and wherever and whatever we are, today we are one family, grasping at hope in a crust of bread and a taste of grapes, remembering in our bones something we never saw, and knowing to an absolute certainty that it is for all of us everywhere, the body and blood of the Son of God, who gave up everything so that you and I and every human being on earth would live.